Now, one of the few European feminists to have significant influence in this country was Simone de Beauvoir, who published her book The Second Sex in 1949. Her beliefs included a vehement opposition to marriage.
Dans le mariage tel qu'il est aujourd'hui, il est bien évident que la femme est presque toujours opprimée. Et elle est opprimée non seulement par son mari.
It's obvious that in marriage, as it exists today, woman is almost always oppressed. Oppressed not only by her husband, but by society, which considers her as being first and foremost a wife, and consequently obliged to devote herself to her husband and children. So, from a feminist point of view, I'm against marriage. But I also think that I should be against it from the man's point of view, because man is oppressed as well, because of the constant presence at his side of a woman who has rights over him. I think that relations between human beings ought to be based on mutual respect and understanding, and never on rights and duties.
And of course she lived according to that ideal. Her love affair with her fellow philosopher and writer, Jean-Paul Sartre, lasted more than 50 years. So how were the ideas and the lifestyle interlocked? Well, Christina Howes is Professor of French at Oxford, and Hazel Rowley has published 20 years after her death, Tête à Tête, The Lives and Loves of Simone de Beauvoir and Jean-Paul Sartre. Why a biography, Hazel, of the relationship?
I call it a portrait of the relationship because I was very marked myself by Simone de Beauvoir. I came of age in the late 60s. I studied French at a university in Australia, actually. And Simone de Beauvoir, particularly her memoirs, hugely influenced me. It seemed that her life was so much more appealing and interesting than the women I saw around me. And yes, she was against marriage. She was not interested in children. She was interested in travelling, meeting people, writing, speaking out. And I was very influenced by this relationship. In my middle age, which is now, basically, I thought it would be really interesting to go back to that relationship which had so influenced not only me, but many in my generation, and to see whether Simone de Beauvoir really told the truth in her memoirs, and to see what the people around them would say about their relationship today.
Christina, how much would you say the way they lived connected with their ideas?
Well, I think that given their philosophy was existentialist rather than something more abstract, there was a very strong connection. Given that existentialism is really, on the personal level anyway, all about choosing the kind of life one wants to live, choosing the kind of person one wants to be, even choosing the kind of emotions one wants to feel, which is really a very radical way of looking at experience. Clearly, the life they led together was both a product of and indeed fed into their existentialist philosophy.
Sartre wrote, "Man is constrained to be free." What exactly did he mean by that?
Yes, it's interesting. He also said man is condemned to be free, and they're both very paradoxical, very confusing, I suppose, statements, because we usually imagine freedom as something which is desirable. But I think that Sartre meant it understood freedom in such a radical way that it was a burden. It was in itself a burden, rather than having an identity which allows us to jog along acting in a fairly automatic way. It's rather entirely up to us what kind of life we want to lead, and that is a real responsibility and a source in existential terms of anguish.
Now, Hazel, when their letters were published, it was found that they hadn't been totally honest in public. In what way had they not been totally honest?
Well, those letters that were published shortly after their death, letters to each other, by the way, I think many other writers would have burnt those letters, but they were quite happy to be judged. They were quite happy to be open to the public. They thought that there shouldn't be a difference between private and public. They thought that was a very bourgeois thing, hypocritical. So those letters showed us that they were quite complicit with each other in the lies they told, often the young women who they both went to bed with. That was disappointing for all of us. That was part of the reason I wanted to write this book, was to see whether I would still be disappointed when I looked at their relationship closely. I was really open to what I would find.
And were you disappointed?
No, I really must say I wasn't. I have come out of it with particularly for Simone de Beauvoir, a lot of admiration. With Sartre, I feel a sort of tenderness. He was a very insecure man, knew he was ugly, needed to seduce in order to prove something to himself, and needed to seduce also not so much because he was interested in sex, but that he liked to get to know women. He liked to get to know people from the inside, as it were, intimately. And so for a writer, of course, I can understand that too.
People were very shocked, though, weren't they, when they discovered that they'd had this rather racy bisexual life?
Yes, because Simone de Beauvoir had always denied it in her life. She denied that she ever had affairs with women, whereas I think men were more important to her, but she did certainly have affairs with women, and she sometimes shared them with Sartre. People continue to be shocked, and that's a bit disappointing for me, because I think there is a tender streak in my book, but America particularly, where the book's been out for 4 months, you know, it is a puritanical country, and the reviewers tend to start by saying how good it is that I'm so unjudgmental, and then they take off they put on their boots and stomp around being extremely judgmental themselves about the lies they told others and the seductions and so on.